This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia rana.
Guten Tag.
Anaseyo. Bangap simnida.
Bula.
Ukana.
Ni hao.
Kia ora.
Hamilton is one of the fastest growing cities in Aotearoa. It's home to 190,000 people from over 170 different ethnicities. The New Wave podcast is on a mission to capture these unique stories, one person and one culture at a time. Join us for season one. This is The New Wave. Denise Herrera grew up in Quito in Ecuador and spent 10 years as a human rights and political journalist in Venezuela, Colombia and Ecuador. She's passionate about representation and equality and ensuring people's voices are heard. With a special connection and interest in Aotearoa from a favourite family book, she'd longed to come here. When she met her partner, who just happened to have Kiwi connections, the stage was set for a new adventure. I'm Kate Prestige. Join me as we launch into episode 7 of The New Wave. This is Denise's story.
Hola amigos, qué gusto estar aquí. Es un placer siempre poder contar las historias de Latinoamérica. Mi nombre es Denise Herrera, soy periodista ecuatoriana. Mi especialización es en periodismo en derechos humanos y política. Estudié en Argentina, donde me formé como periodista. Luego trabajé como corresponsal en mi país, en Ecuador. También estuve en Venezuela y en Colombia haciendo periodismo. Particularmente, creo que el periodismo es parte de lo que nos conecta diariamente y creo que las voces de las personas son las que nos trazan la verdad en tanto ruido. Así que me apasiona la comunicación y el periodismo. Me encanta hacer periodismo de comunidad y poder conectarnos. Eso es un poco de mí y bueno, hace un tiempo ahora vivo en Nueva Zelanda. Hi everyone, my name is Denise. I'm Denise Herrera. I'm an Ecuadorian journalist. I have studied in Argentina. I work for an international media outlet in Ecuador. And also I have been doing journalism in Venezuela and Colombia. I'm a human rights journalist. That means that you have a lot of things to do in South America. But it's part of my love, it's part of my passion to just connect people with real histories and just try to share new information and give us an alternative way to get connected. So that's part of me. And I've just moved to New Zealand 2 years ago, basically. Yeah.
Oh, no, my heart of mine. Thank you, Denise, so much for that introduction. Can you take us back and tell us a little bit about your early life, where you were born, and a bit about your homeland, Ecuador?
I'm from Quito, that's the capital of Ecuador. So South America, it's a lot of cultures and different mindsets. So I think that it's important just to specify where it's Ecuador. So Ecuador is close to Colombia and Peru. It's one of the smallest countries in South America, but one of the wonderful countries, not just because it's my country. We don't have stations, we have regions, so we have the Amazon, the mountain side and coast, and the Galapagos Islands. So when I was when I was a kid, I always tried to get connected with people. It was like just part of my life. And Ecuador has a lot of influence from overseas, like US and a lot of cultures. And like language for me was, I like to get connected with people and I like to learn languages. And Quito was like a really little town at that moment. But now you have a lot of beautiful landscapes there.
So you're close to all of this beautiful natural beauty. What was life like for you as a little girl growing up there? Tell us a bit about your family and what your life was like.
I will try to tell the good things because I know that like media always share like the wrong side of South America. And as a journalist, I always try to just explain how beautiful it's South America. So Quito is like a highest city. So you have to breathe properly. So we are more than 2,000 over the sea. So it's really high. Quito is like in the middle of one part of the Andes mountain. So you have beautiful mountains just around you. And it's crazy because you have volcanoes as well. So people say that people that are living in Quito, we are a little bit crazy because we basically live like in the middle of the mountains and volcanoes. It used to be a quiet city. And my side of my, like my mother, a family, they come from like the countryside. And my dad's side is like from Quito. So it's like a quiet life. You have a lot of busy things now, but I have a really good memories like back in Quito. Yeah, it's like very similar to Bogota, like Colombia, but you have more things to do, like cultural. We were conquered by Spanish people. That's why we talk Spanish, because our native language is Quechua. I don't speak Quechua because I'm not part of like the indigenous mindset, but we have a lot of culture. So you have a black people population, you have mixed race, and you have indigenous as well. So part of the history of Quito and Ecuador is based on how indigenous people also get involved in politics. So for us, like young generation is part of our mindset. We respect nature's rights, indigenous rights, and women's rights, but at the same time, you have to struggle to get that. So Quito, it's the smallest capital in South America, but you have a really huge heritage. And also like the Quito Center is one of the most popular and beautiful centers in South America.
It sounds really lovely. And that mix of culture, were there any special memories or special things about life in Quito for your family, and particularly with those different influences?
So every region have their own food. So I'm from the mountain. We eat chicken, we eat pork, but we have like a lot of indigenous way to cook that is just part of our culture now. So my grandmother, she used to cook a lot, like soups, a fish, a potato, and we have different specific veggies like in South America, mostly like Ecuador, Bolivia, and Peru. We have some like called mote, chocho, this like a specific Indian food. So we eat a lot of that. And also you have seafood, like in the coast. I know that this is like a discussion topic, but the best ceviche of the world is cooked in Ecuador. It's completely different, because different from Peru. You have Mexican ceviche, you have Uruguay ceviche, you have Colombian ceviche, Peruvian, but the Ecuadorian ceviche is one of the top of the world, yeah. But had really good food. If you like to eat, you must go to Ecuador. And it's cheaper as well.
It sounds good. It sounds good. And so was there anybody in particular that shaped your interest in your career, or any particular person that was significant to you growing up?
I have two things. Like, I think that is just based why I'm a journalist. First of all, it was like my grandfather, like my mom, dad. He was one of the first photographers in Quito, and we keep that traditional photo studio in Quito. Actually, it's the only traditional studio in Quito, so it's part of all Quito history. I always struggle with that, like just try to get young people involved in that. We have old cameras, we have the old studio. It calls Luminofoto Silva. So my grandfather was known as the photographer of the president. He was really popular. But in my family, nobody followed his steps, you know? So I love photography. It's part of my life. I grew up like in the middle of a studio photographers, a mom, dad, my aunties. It's just part of my life. And then it was just curiosity. We have a lot of drama in South America. And one particular thing was because Ecuador is the only country in South America that we use dollars. American dollars. So we have back in the 90s a really huge crisis, and nobody explained what happened. When I was like 9 years old, and I used to have my sucre currency, you know, my traditional. And after 3 days, suddenly I just got $1 in my hand. For me, was why we are facing this and what is happening with the coming years. So that's particular things just kept in my mind. And now it's just like part of my life.
So that curiosity, I guess you've got your storytelling from your grandfather and the documentary nature of photography and the realism, as well as the portrait and studio work that comes with that, but combined with that curiosity about why things are happening have led you to this, which is great. I was going to ask about your passion for news and storytelling. Can you tell us a little bit about where you did your studies and how your career as a journalist sort of emerged in Ecuador?
Yeah, so like when I decide to be a journalist, of course, I have so many people telling me, don't do that. Like, no, you know, like study a proper profession, because in South America it's completely different. It's a privilege to finish your studies. It's a privilege to have like a real life, you know. We have a lot of things going on. And it's really hard to keep that
and believe in you and get your goals. So at the beginning, I just had like the support of my family, mom and dad. They just told me, Denise, if you want to be a journalist, just try it. And my mom supported me. So I decided at that moment that Ecuador wasn't the place that I want to be there. So I had like friends that they were moving to Argentina because Ecuador is a dollarized country. So it was cheaper for us to get to another South American countries. And Argentina journalists has a huge influence in journalists in South America. So I thought, okay, maybe I would need to get there and study like that profession. And yeah, I just moved and it was like, I'm traveling, I'm watching different things. And it was like this curiosity. Buenos Aires is a massive capital. So you have people from everywhere. And I just started doing online radio. And my mom was like 10 years ago, what are you doing? I can listen to you. Like I just connect this and I'm listening to you. And you have your own show as well. So it was crazy. And it was not just Argentina. It was like I connect my passion. I study there. And yeah, and I had just this... this opportunity to get my goal because I just kept thinking and telling myself, I will be a journalist. I want to live doing journalism because that's my dream. Because, you know, in South America, to get your dreams is not easy.
It was so good that you were supported by your family for that bold decision to go to Argentina. And so you're working over there as a journalist. You've done your training in Argentina. How did you end up here in Kirikiriroa, Hamilton? What led you to leave this exciting, challenging, diverse, tumultuous kind of life in South America and come over here where I guess life is a little bit quieter?
Yeah. So after my studies in Argentina, I moved to Ecuador. I stayed there for 5 years. And my first like journalist thing, I just published videos in Facebook. You know, when we didn't have any YouTuber thing. So a TV producer watched me and offered me a job. That's what I got my first job in journalism. It was crazy.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then I just specified liking political stuff and human rights. So when I was doing that, like this is like a personal, like really personal situation. So I lost my sister with cancer when I was 12 years old. And that moment I saw the first movie of The Lord of the Rings. So when I just discovered that it was like a beautiful country, a town called Hobbiton, and it was just recorded is in New Zealand, I was, oh my God, I had like some kind of connection with that. And I was reading about New Zealand, but I was in Ecuador, and New Zealand is in the other side of the Pacific. It was so expensive. It was like so hard to get here. Can I just pause that dream? I thought, okay, because I was like just listening to the records, like the Lord of the Rings soundtracks. And I used to listen that with my sister when she was in the hospital. So it was like kind of thing, very weird, but powerful at the same time. So when I come back to Argentina, I met my partner. And he born and raised in Ecuador, but his father is he's from Dunedin.
Okay.
he's crazy. So when I met him, he told me, Denise, like I love you, but you need to know that at some point in my life, I'm moving to New Zealand because I need to be connected with this part of my dad's side. And I told him, what did you said? Like New Zealand, you know? He was great. He didn't know about this, about my connection with my sister. And I told my mom, like, see, because at that moment for me it was so hard to think that I'm getting to New Zealand because we don't have like a work visa thing with Ecuador. And it's a lot of money to us, like our reality or economy reality, you know. If you say money, of course, you can do that. But for me, it wasn't like a goal at that moment because I didn't want to struggle more. That's all. So he told me after the pandemic, Denise, I'm moving to New Zealand. Are you coming or not? And I was, oh my God, I don't know. But I just said yes. And he decided to come to Hamilton. He decided to come here because he's studying his second degree. And yeah, and I was like just doing journalism. And it was like a hard decision for me to quit my job, I had so many published things there. I always support organization, women's organization and things like that. So it was like a huge decision. But I just realized that I moved to New Zealand, maybe when I just got here. It was crazy. But yeah, and the first thing that I did when I just got to New Zealand, I went directly to Hobbiton, to Mata Mata.
I was going to say, I'm assuming you've gone to Hobbiton. Do you believe in fate, or, you know, that seems like one of those situations where he didn't know that you had this passion from the age of 12 connected to your sister for New Zealand. Do you believe in that, or do you think it was just good coincidence?
I believe in manifestation. Maybe I didn't know when I was 12 years old, because when you love someone that you love forever, I mean, I was a child, you know, it was really hard to get over about that. And I just think that it was just, my manifestation, because deeply inside of me, I was always praying to get that. I mean, I never talk about this, but I think that it's a really nice experience to share. So I thought just it was like maybe a manifestation. Because, you know, 20 years ago, we used to have this, I don't know how to say it in English, VHS, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, like a videotape.
Videotape. So do you remember Blockbuster? So I used to go to the store, rent a lot of the rings and just keep watching that. It was crazy. Yeah, I think that it's just manifestation, maybe. And my partner, of course.
You're listening to The New Wave, a series profiling the diverse people of Kirikiriroa. I'm your host, Kate Prestige, and my guest today is Ecuadorian journalist, podcaster, and human rights advocate, Denise Herrera.
And so, had you heard of Hamilton before? So you chose the city because your partner wanted to study?
Yeah, I mean, he explained to me, because he lived in Australia, and then he was like just doing traveling here. But I didn't know much about New Zealand lifestyle or, you know, like city. I just read about, of course, Mata Mata, and then like more about Dunedin, because Michael's dad is from there.
So you've moved from some quite big cities, particularly in your time in Buenos Aires, and you've come here to little old Kirikiriroa with fewer than 200,000 people. What was it like when you first arrived, and can you remember those early weeks? And then, and what were some of the differences that you noticed?
So I was shocked when I got here, when I just realized that I'm living in an island. Like it has a shock, because when you feel like you are connected with everything, it's different, you know. But at some point, I just feel at home. It was like a weird thing, you know, because I have been traveling a lot and haven't feel this, you know. So my first shock, it was the Kiwi accent. It's like a really strong accent, like English. It was like just that, like the accent, you know, to feel peace and to feel more secure. I mean, I don't want to compare, but yeah, but I love it. Like the weather as well, you know, like super cold or hot. And at some point it was good for me. My grandmother, like the mom of my mom, she's living like in the countryside. So I normally spend my time in Quito and the farms, like the countryside of Quito, that calls Perucho. That's like a town like in Ecuador. So I feel that, like, I really like the nature. It's part of my life that as well. So I just feel connected. I mean, it's not easy because you have a different background. And when you got here, you have different culture as well. So, but I think that doing journalism, it helped me a lot to understand and not judge, just try to always be respect of everything.
I think that respect is coming through strongly, and also your curiosity and about people and acceptance about people. But it must have been crazy to be able to drive 40 minutes one way or an hour and a quarter the other way and be at the sea when you had grown up.
this idea of being
in an island. So there would have been some real challenges in those early days, but how did you begin to build your life here with Michael?
When you change your life, you change your goals and you change everything, it's like just like you are knowing again your partner. It's like, I feel that we are like when we just started our relationship, you know, because we have to find everything. We have to get new things, and it's like a new start. I mean, we both have our family support that make it easier. It doesn't matter if they are not like physically here, but I always talk with mom and she always said, okay, Denise, you have to be supportive, you know, but we are family. And I'm very happy for him to get connected with this culture as well, because he was always trying to discover for himself how to be, decide. And for me, I always had this dream to try to communicate in another language, to understand as well how it's to be really far away about my native country. And yeah, just try to learn. We have made a lot of mistakes, of course, because we don't know things, of course. But I think that is part of our life, you know. And that's why I started doing my own show here, because I took like 1 year to try to understand where I am, how's the life here. And before to do anything, I always try to be 100% secure that I'm doing, you know, something good or something correct. Because I haven't been here, it was like my first time. So if I want to share an opinion, if I want to share some information, for me, that's responsibility. So I was doing different jobs in New Zealand and just tried to see how many people are coming from, I don't know, South America, what cultures, mindsets, traditions, you know? And to be patient, that's all.
It sounds like quite a long process. Almost like research, you know?
Yeah.
Absorbing, thinking, reflecting, finding out.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Big process. Have you been working since you arrived?
Yeah, so my first job, it was like cleaning camper vans. So I applied like on Seek or Facebook. I don't remember. It was like a German girl. And she gave me my first job in New Zealand. She was really nice. And then I was like working more in customer service because I tried to improve my English, to get connected with the language as well before to try to get a journalist thing. It was like my decision. And then it was like just trying to get experience. I mean, I didn't have like instruction, you know.
Don't you? You have to start somewhere. And so for you, it was cleaning camper vans.
Yeah.
So in terms of building a life, you found some work, you started to connect with the community and start to learn the systems, I guess. But how do you stay connected to home?
We have a lot of drama, so I don't miss home. No, I'm joking. I don't know. When you ask me, like, if I believe, like, in something else there, I always had this feeling that I'm from my country. I love my country. I love my family. I love Ecuador. But at the same time, I always felt that my body and my life will always move. I don't know how to explain this. So that's why I moved like when I was 18 to Argentina. So I always come back to Ecuador. I try to get connected with there. And then it's something like inside of me that just push me to keep watching the world. And for me, that helped me to do a better, I mean, not a better, but it helped me in my journalist life. So, because it gave me a kind of tools to listen and watch different, you know, don't judge. And if I defend one idea of how to, I don't know, like write, I have more knowledge to say, okay, maybe this will be a good option to support this. Because I have been seeing these kind of things in different parts of the world. So I think that when you are doing like political stuff, most of the people, they always try to convince you that they have the answers. But you need to be very aware what kind of information they are giving to us. So in South America, it's completely different. You don't have like government supports or things like that. You have to be very aware and you have to take care of yourself. So for me, it was like a decision. I don't feel that I'm safe here doing journalism right now because I cover a murder of a girl. We call in Spanish femicidio is when you murder a girl or a woman just for being a woman. We have that kind of violence. And before to come to New Zealand, this lady was murdered by a policeman. So it's part of the government discussion, you know, like this government corruption. And I just got so involved in that case. We pushed that to get to the justice and it was like a miracle because we don't have a justice that responds to that matters. So for me, it was like a decision, okay, I don't feel safe to do this. Maybe I need to take a break. And New Zealand sounds really good to do that. And during this trip, I also just started thinking again, how can I do journalism without risk myself, but helping people? So that's how I create Aloha Taroa.
So Aloha Aotearoa is your podcast that you have on Free FM, and it is a space where you can still be connected to home by telling stories. But without that, that safety issue is a genuine issue, isn't it? When you were working as a journalist at home and trying to cover those challenging stories, mm-hmm. But you are still connecting to home because obviously you're in touch with your mum and
yeah.
But also too, you're doing your show. Tell us a little bit about Aloha Aotearoa. Let's give a plug to the show.
Yeah. So Aloha, every time that we answer the phone, we said Aloha. Yeah. So if you call me Kate, I would say Aloha. So it was like a connection. Aotearoa, because Phil proposed me to connect with also New Zealand rights and this discussion about Māori, and we keep that. So I thought, oh, this is a really nice option to keep like Latin culture and New Zealand culture. And yeah, and it was like my way to keep connected with my own personal investigation and journalism thing. So I'm interviewing Latin people, but also like migrants. So when you have this kind of speeches against Latin migration, despite of everything, I think that for me was okay. I want to connect and want to focus in what we do after migration, you know? Because we are not just illegal people, you know. We are not part of that. We have illegal things going on in South America, yeah. But it's not everyone. So we do things right as well. So if you are coming from Chile, Argentina, Colombia, and you had a really bad moment in your country and you are having a second chance in New Zealand, what are you doing? How are you doing that? And how we can support each other. And we have this kind of discussion in Ableist culture, even with Indian people, Chinese people. And it's really nice just to share knowledge and to share experience without all this kind of bad discussion about politics, you know? So for me, it was to try to connect that. Because even like if you are in South America, at some point, you don't want to consume bad news every time, you know, every day. I always tell my mom, like, stop watching news. And if you want to get informed, just try to get alternative ways to consume that. You know that you have some corruption things, but you don't know how happened, you know. It's a lot of information that just affect your daily life. So I try always to give that information. So I keep talking about human rights. I keep talking about politics. But in a light way to get that information doesn't affect your day and give you, you know, at least some kind of positive energy that the world can be better.
I think you've hit on something there quite profound, and people don't always think about it. But what we see on the news, or what we listen to on the news, is the very, very tip of the worst things that have happened in a particular day. It's all of the stories that cut through all the things that are normal to us. But in a balance of a day, everybody goes about their business. Most people are good to each other. Most people do normal things. But the normal things are not the things that make the news. So if you just concentrate on the bad things through the news, it can be difficult sometimes to forget that there's all these other things happening,
yeah.
That are normal and that are, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we have to know about everything. I agree with that, but I think that if you just keep repeating what the bad people are doing, you just stay in that moment, yeah.
So you've talked a little bit about the way that the show helps connect some of the migrant communities here. What would you say to somebody who is thinking about making the same journey that you've made to come here to New Zealand?
Save money. Because New Zealand is expensive. No. And just get informed, you know. And also for me, mental health. We don't talk about this much. So I have my psychologist. It's not like because I'm facing something particular, but it helped me to don't hurt everyone. So I think that when you are moving from your native country and you are far away, all that ghost in your mind or, you know, in your past can come. So just try to face that also with mental health support. If you feel that you need it, that helped me a lot when I just got here. For me, it was like losing my profession, losing what I have done my entire life, it was my decision to choose my partner. He never told me, oh no, you have to come. It was always my decision. I decide to come here and just start again. But it's really hard to just try to connect with your dreams again. So when you are migrant, you do what you have to do because you need to pay your bills. I don't have kids. But if you are a mother or if you are a father and you have kids, you choose what you think that is the best for your family. So I think that you just to get prepared, learn English, try to get connect with the culture and just focus in the positive things. Because at some point you will discuss the bad things because every country has good and bad things. But if you concentrate in the bad things, maybe you might lose opportunities.
That's great advice. It's very profound when you're a migrant. You do what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Looking back, what are you most proud of?
Of me? No, I'm joking.
No, you can be proud of you.
Yeah, I think that I'm some like a Snoop Dogg of believing me. No, but I think that, I feel proud of my family. I feel proud of mom and dad. They taught me everything that I know in life. And after that, this tragical thing that we lost, like for me was my sister, but for them was their kid. So I'm very grateful that I have really supportive families because they gave me everything to get my goals.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Denise, for joining us today on The New Wave and for being our wonderfully vivacious guest from Ecuador. We really appreciate it, Paul and I. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate, and thank you, everyone. Adios, amigos.
Adios.
Thanks for listening to The New Wave. That was Denise's story, featuring communicator, podcaster, Tolkien lover and storyteller Denise Herrera. The New Wave is a diversity storytelling project by Wintec School of Media Arts researchers Kate Prestige and Paul Nelson. This podcast is made with the support of community access media station Free FM 89. If you'd like to know more about the project or get involved, check the show notes for more info.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.